What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
You know him as the Mongoose. Others know him simply as Brian. Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette joins us here at high noon on a really bogus day, isn't it, Limits?
Bogus day?
Yeah.
Why is it bogus?
I don't know. Is bogus a bad word? Look at Brian. Look at the hat he has on. Is that Arizona Diamondbacks?
Shaler area Titans, Joe. Ooh.
Wow. That's impressive. Maybe that was the wrong word. I'm awfully tired today. Just a bad day. Just a depressing day. How do you feel, Limits? You were in the stadium.
Yeah, I feel depressed. I feel like it is the same bleep that we've seen over and over and over again. And we're just going to wake up on Groundhog Day again tomorrow because Mike Tomlin will still be the coach. And there won't be any signs of moving towards a positive future where something's actually going to be done about it.
What was the locker room like, Brian? What stood out?
I don't think it was really the angriest or most downtrodden locker room of the season, honestly. I don't know if that speaks to guys have been in this position before. I also think it's sort of different watching athletes try to process in real time the season being over and guys are going to go their separate ways. They don't know if they're back. I think it's a weird sort of phase of grief, different than losing a bad game to the Browns in week 17, for instance, when you know you're going to be back out there in another 7 days. So, it was a hollow feeling in that locker room, but for many of them, a familiar feeling, and same for us who were in there covering it.
Man, what about TJ Watt? Now, he's the guy we haven't talked about yet. His quotes were interesting. Do we have that limit? TJ Watt basically saying, don't ask me about the idea of winning a playoff game.
He was podium. They took him to the podium rather than the locker room. But yeah, he was honestly pretty candid. I give him credit for that.
Yeah, he's 0-5 with one sack in his playoff career. Do you have that, Limits? No?
I have this from TJ Watt.
You got to give them a lot of credit. They played good ball tonight. They were able to move the ball. We weren't able to stop them in downs where it was crucial. Same story. You guys saw what happened.
Same story.
Yeah, man, we did see what happened. How about Aaron Rodgers' future, Brian? Thoughts?
I mean, I came into the year thinking there was almost no chance that he would want to come back for a second season anywhere. And then the up and down nature of this year for the Steelers, it was constantly pinging back and forth. Oh, maybe he will want to play again. Maybe he won't because he just got decapitated by Bud Dupree. Oh, he threw another few touchdowns. Maybe he's feeling good. He says he's Benjamin Buttoning this thing with his body. Oh, he just got sacked by Danielle Hunter again. Maybe he's going to call it a career. Now, after that game, I really think I am leaning more toward he just hangs up the cleats. You don't want to sit in the throne so long that it becomes a rocking chair, Joe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I always say get out a year too early than a year too late. Limits?
So you do think then, Brian, do you think that's because of it's a Tomlin decision? Do you think it's Aaron Rodgers' decision on his own where he just decides, look, I'm done, I'm stepping away? Or would the team, because we've seen reports that the team would welcome him back, this would be Aaron basically, even with encouragement from the Steelers to come back, saying, no, I'm just going to ride off?
I think it would be his decision. With the Steelers, there aren't really many good quarterback options out there yet again this offseason. It's tricky. The draft hasn't played out the way that I think they probably expected it would have 4, 6, 8 months ago, projecting this class for 2026. The free agent options, I mean, I happen to think Malik Willis is pretty clearly the best option for the Steelers and a number of other teams who might want to bid for his services given what he did in Green Bay. Otherwise, I guess you're looking at Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, maybe some other veteran retread like a Jacoby Brissett or some other rookie that's a project of sorts, maybe with a little more upside than Will Howard. But, I mean, I say all that to say, if Rodgers wanted to come back, I would assume the Steelers would hear him out and hey, let's talk about what you think this can look like for you. Sell us on, you know, maybe your body still being in good shape physically. But I know we talked about it last week, guys, and I feel like we saw it last night. He just can't evade pressure anymore. And, you know, you lose so much, I think, in today's NFL when you don't have that quarterback who can escape a near sack, pick up some yardage with his legs. I saw a lot of that in Wild Card Weekend, and I worry that severely caps his ability to do much of anything for this team next year, even if he returns.
Brian Batko on our YouTube channel, numbers skyrocketing there, probably more than ever today, unfortunately, or fortunately for us, I guess. He's also on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I want to tell you that vacations begin here at the Pittsburgh Travel Showcase presented by AAA Travel, January 23rd through the 25th at David L. Lawrence Convention Center. Exclusive discounts, convenient one-stop shopping. Dream it, plan it, book it, experience it. Tickets and details at PittsburghTravelShowcase.com, where your vacation is waiting for you. So, Brian, let's talk about the coach then. What do you think will happen? Do you think he gets the 2027 clause exercised on his contract by Art? Do you think they move on? Do you think it's just business as usual?
I don't think they would fire him, first of all. I just don't think that the Steelers have that in them. I don't think Art Rooney II wants to go to that nuclear option, no matter how bleak it is. And, you know, you can probably still sit in that owner's box that they showed on TV last night and convince yourself, we just won the AFC North Division. It's not that bad. This too shall pass. But I do think the trend in his own stated impatience in recent years to start winning some playoff games, maybe they don't pick up that option. And then things get really uncomfortable for everybody. You know, I know that there's this school of thought of, oh, you can't go into a year where it's the last season under contract for your head coach and he's a lame duck. I mean, I would just say, why not? These two sides have been together for so long that, I mean, any sort of like facade of leveraging or positioning or posturing or high stakes game of chicken from one side or the other, I think that's almost out the window because the proof's in the pudding with what they haven't done in recent years.
Man, is there any chance they trade him?
Here's what I would say about a trade scenario, Joe, and I've been saying this for at least a year now, maybe going back however many years it's been since these scenarios were floated. I look at it kind of through two different lenses. I don't think you'd ever see a situation where the Steelers are, this comes back to what I just said, I don't think you'd ever see a situation where they just say, Mike, we're done with you, we're going to trade you. You know, if you don't like your destination, then I guess you'll step away from coaching. No, I don't think they would do that to him after nearly two decades together in this relationship with a Super Bowl ring on their fingers as well from it. But I think if they have these tough conversations after another season that ends like this, and they come to the agreement of maybe it's time for a fresh start for both of us and a change of scenery, why wouldn't you just keep the option on the table of, hey, Mike, how about we explore a trade? It's not like we'll ship you to somewhere you don't want a front office, and they give the head coach the ingredients, and now we can evaluate this coach simply on how he does with the talent assembled. I think that's an interesting path to consider, and if they go that way, I swear I'm getting to your question, Joe. If you're rebuilding, do you just blow up this core, whether it's Cam, TJ, both? I think that would have to be on the table.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Brian Batko on the line. I just saw an unbelievable number up on the Pat McAfee show here. The one we know in this 7-game playoff losing streak for Tomlin, which is now tied for the longest in the history of professional football with Marvin Lewis, the Steelers have been outscored 70-3 in first quarters after leading 3-0 last night, which was a major triumph. 73-3, I should say. 73-3.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was 73-0 coming into last night's game.
How could I forget that field goal? So 73-3 in the first quarters, they've been outscored in this 7-game playoff losing streak. Here's the one that I didn't know. They have trailed for every single snap of every second half in those games. Oh my God, Brian. I mean, that is just such an indictment. They just haven't been competitive. They haven't come close to winning any of those games.
And they've faced a deficit of 21 plus points in all of them as well. So last night's was kind of weird in that I know there are some out there, if you want to call them Steelers apologists or Tomlin apologists or just glass half full fans, pointing out that they were only down 7-6 going into the fourth quarter, and then it got away from them, which is true, but to which I would respond, it shouldn't have been 7-6. It felt like it was much worse than 7-6 because C.J. Stroud was trying to give Aaron Rodgers a retirement present by just handing the ball back to him numerous times where, sure, the Steelers' defense was, you know, they were in the vicinity, which was good, but it's not like they were really forcing those turnovers a lot of the time. The catch by Brandon Echols, I thought, was a great interception. But at that point, I looked at it as the score was not as close as it indicated at that point. And I think you have to keep that in mind if you want to say that the final score also was not indicative.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Limits the mere thought of not inviting you in for a follow-up question. Has Brian back go near a breakdown?
Well, I wanted to ask this, Brian. Is Jalen Ramsey going to be done? Is that era over? What's going to happen at safety? And would you make it a priority to extend Joey Porter Jr.?
I don't know what happens at safety. I guess with Ramsey, too, because of the versatility, you could still make a case that, hey, we had this plan for him to be, you know, supersized slot corner. He's not really going to have to run with the outside guys as much as he did early in his career. We still like him in that role, and that obviously got thrown into flux because Darius Slay couldn't play anymore this year. So maybe that would cause them to bring him back. But that trade in retrospect, guys, I mean, it was kind of like that meme where the guy, you know, slaps the whatever that sticky stuff is on the hole and it doesn't really do anything, at least not in the playoffs. So Joey Porter Jr. to me for sure is a priority. I think he's a piece of the puzzle going forward. You need a corner like that. Shoot, you might need two of them. At least you do if you want to be a defense like the Texans ones that we saw last night.
How about DK Metcalf moving forward, Brian? Will we be surprised at anything that happens there? It sounds like they're sort of in a bind to have to keep him next season, but that there's an out after next season. Is that right?
I mean, ironically, they weren't in a bind because of the fan incident in Detroit with the, you know, the contract stuff voiding guaranteed money because of clauses in there. And yet, you know, there's been so much reporting that they're not going to go down that road with DK, which I wholeheartedly believe. But yeah, I'll be honest, for someone who really liked that trade and praised it a lot from the Steelers and Omar and Mike's perspective and thought DK was a clear-cut number one receiver, disappointing end to this season for him. I mean, not just the off-field issue in Detroit, but you know, the concentration drops or whatever you want to call them at times this year, and a big one popping up last night. I don't know if I said it with you guys last week or somewhere else, but I felt like it could have gone one of two ways, you know, rested, fresh legs, or a little bit of rust for a guy who already is not the most sure-handed receiver in the league. So I would think that they still believe in him and still have a much higher opinion of him football character-wise and general character-wise than George Pickens, but I think he was a little bit of a letdown by the end of this year.
Percent chance we run it all back. Tomlin as the head coach and de facto defensive coordinator with Terrell Austin, our friend Artie as the offensive coordinator, and Rodgers as the quarterback.
3%. I don't think that's
going to happen. Which one of those most likely to change?
I think Terrell Austin has to fall on the sword after the way this season went. And I would say this, if you're the Steelers and you're going to try to paint the picture of why you want to keep Mike Tomlin in place, if that is indeed what they choose to do. I think the next sort of most significant change you can make would be, hey, Mike, we're going to bring in a new defensive coordinator, turn the unit completely over to him. Maybe he wants to revamp it, make it a 4-3 and more of an even front, and just fully, you know, rebuild what we do on that side of the ball. And hopefully he can do that quickly because we believe in the talent that we have here. I think you could at least squint and say, okay, this is the Steelers doing something marginally drastic, but you know, I don't know if they'll go that route. But to your question, Joe, I mean, for as much as we criticize and scrutinize the Steelers for being so stagnant, I mean, I don't think even they would do that. They've made changes over the years, you know, firing Matt Canada midseason, you know, things, you know, the big quarterback changes every year, of course, but obviously they are always a little bit more resistant to changes on the coaching side.
Lastly, Brian, do you think that they're determined, I guess still determined, assuming they have been, to move assets and get a quarterback in this draft?
I think they're determined because I think that's been the long-term vision for quite a while now. But like I mentioned earlier, I mean, it's just not shaping up to be a feasible plan. You know, I think Dante Moore is a big pendulum swing there if he decides to come out of Oregon. I don't think there's been any news on that since the loss to Indiana in the college football playoff. I know he was shaky in that game, but I guess this could be a classic case of, hey, not the worst thing for the Steelers if he hurts his stock a little bit, and not that he's going to drop all the way to the 20s, but if he's down a little bit and one of these teams picking in the top five or top 10 aren't as enamored with him, maybe you could still move up and grab him if you're a believer. You know, Ty Simpson is in the mix, but that doesn't really move the needle for me. I think it's going to be hard for them to go that route. I think the Raiders are going to jump right on Fernando City Limits Mendoza.
All right, Brian. Thank you for everything this year, man. You were great. Hopefully we'll be talking
again. Thanks for having
me
on every Tuesday. Congrats on your new gig, Joe.
Appreciate that. We'll be talking, buddy.
Yeah, this is like the end of the school year, especially for me and you with the PG.
Yeah,
news. It's like the players last night in the locker room. We're leaving, and we don't know when or where or if we'll see each other again, and if so, in what capacity.
Such is life. This is the end of high school. We're off to college. We're off on our own. It's been a wonderful time, and it's very sad, isn't it, Limits?
I'm tearing up right now as we speak.
Don't cry because it's over, Joe. Smile because it happened.
I like that saying. See you, buddy.
Bye, Brian.
Keep in touch.
I sure will. Brian Batko. And the move he mentioned is I'm headed back to Trib Live, where I spent many years, to write columns. I think my new debut. Do we like the name of the column, Stark Raving? Is that going to be good, Limits?
I thought it was going to be the Savvy Old News Hound.
No.
The Savvy Old News Hound column. Is that too long of a title?
Yeah, that's a little cumbersome.
Yeah.
You don't like Stark Raving.
That's I do like it.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I just like the Savvy Old News Hound.
They used to call it Stark Ravings, plural, which sounded like squirrel pellets or something. I didn't like it. I want Stark Raving.
Did you come up with it, or did they come up with it for you?
They wanted to pluralize it, and I didn't want that. And now it won't be pluralized. So off we go.
Good choice.
Of course, nothing changes here. Things just keep going and keep going in the direction they're going, which is up and up and up and up. And we're going to celebrate our Marconi Award Wednesday. You going?
Of course I'm going, yes.
We get to order steak, don't we?
We do get a steak dinner.
It's our second steak dinner in a week, isn't it?
And you don't have to pay for it this time, Joe.
No, and I'm ordering bread pudding for dessert.
Do we get dessert?
I think we get anything we want, don't we?
Let's go. Do you think we're going to get those mini Marconi statues?
I don't know. I'm thinking about the lava cake myself.
The lava cake.
The statue's fine. I want lava cake.
To the place that we're going, I've never been there before, and I've always wanted to go.
So have I.
So I am. You've never been there either?
No.
I'm very excited.
Me too. All right, Limits. Where are we here? I know where we are. We're going to a report card. I mean, everything, the big picture questions are so pressing right now, and it's probably best to never look at that game again, but Let's go back into the details and the horror of it all one more time next as we follow the report card here and do that. Are you game for that, O Limitless Wonder?
Please, let's do it.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.